Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. One daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Strauss. Well, why isn't the church impacting society like we all know it can? What happened to the powerful people of faith today? How did we get to the point where it seems they are few and far between? Our guest today is a pastor who believes it doesn't have to be that way, and he's working to equip a new generation of believers who walk in kingdom authority with a demonstration of the power of the gospel. He's here to tell us about it right after this.
Have you heard about Liberty University's one-of-a-kind scholarship? Students from families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually probably won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant, which provides vital funds for college. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of over $20,000 in 4 years. Want to know more? Text MAS to 49596 for more information. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, and today's guest is Pastor D.G. Massid, the president of Higher Ground Bible School. He's hosting an event in just a few weeks called Beyond the Veil with speakers that are sure to bring a release of the authority and power of the kingdom of God. He's here to talk to us about why he believes believers need to walk in that authority and why it's such a key to seeing the gospel go forth in power and to see society changed. Pastor Massid, welcome to the broadcast.
Jeff, it's good to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a privilege and an honor to have you on, and we so appreciate what you're doing and the work that you're doing with Higher Ground. And in fact, that seems to be a great place to start. Talk to us about Higher Ground. What is it? What are you doing?
Higher Ground is a very unique Bible college. You know, I grew up Roman Catholic and actually almost became a priest at one point. And I guess when you've got the call of God in your life and you're young, you just know to look to your church. And I was actually to the point where I was ready to go into a seminary and decided to go away for a weekend, and bumped into a Christian couple. Now, they kind of recognized where I was and just asked me a few questions, which pretty much just caused me to step back and reevaluate a little bit. And so what I decided to do in the process of figuring it all out was read the Bible. And I was very surprised to find that the Bible went in one direction and the Catholic Church went in another. And I didn't know what to do about that for a while. I had to put it down, and eventually the Lord kind of guided me to realize that the Bible was the standard by which everything had to be judged. And the Holy Spirit led me to an independent, on fire, full gospel church, believed in the gifts, moved in the gifts, and I got saved. And as time went on, the Lord reminded me that He was calling me into ministry, and I went off to a Bible college. And there was the very first time in my life I met dead Christians. I thought those were Catholics. I didn't know there was such a thing as dead Christians.
Yeah.
And after about a year of that, the Lord just put in my heart a burden for a Bible college that would be centered on the kingdom of God, that would be centered on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, understanding how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and understanding there's so much more than a history lesson, and looking back at our wonderful ancestors, they are wonderful because they did what God was calling them to do, not because they were experts in history. And that's how Higher Ground was born. And as I was about to birth that, the Lord had me start a church. And in that church in Massachusetts, we ended up with a large outreach to a prison. And it was a maximum security prison. And the Lord taught us so much in that. And really, we were able, probably over about 8 years, to minister to about 10,000 guys. Mm-hmm. And an awful lot of them came to our church. And in the process of dealing with them, you know, I was one of the few pastors who had the privilege of walking the blocks in the prison and, you know, getting into the cells with the guys and ministering to them. And I watched a lot of these big, tough, in quotes I say, axe murderers, you know, weeping before God. And to date, I have 47, 48 unsolved murders that have been confessed to me. And I say that simply to tell you how much the Holy Spirit was touching these guys. So I'm seeing the power of God move. I'm seeing it affect lives. I'm seeing it change people. And then these guys get out of prison, and many of them came to our church. And I was a little naive at the time. I assumed, hey, they said the sinner's prayer, they were serious, and life is good, and was really surprised to find these guys falling back into drugs. So I get a phone call on a Friday evening at 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, do you know who so-and-so is from the wife? No, why? He's out using again. I'm like, no way, no way he's out using again. I'm telling you, it's Friday, the paycheck's with him, he's gone. And a lot of pastors would write off someone like that and say, well, I guess he was never serious. But I remembered the time in the cells. I remembered the seeing their hearts. You know, the Holy Spirit let me see their hearts. And instead of writing them off, we did something a little unique. We would ring phones until we put a posse together. And then we'd go from bar to bar, from crack house to crack house, until we found them. And what we found was when four or five guys from your church come in and say, hey, man, what are you doing? People always came back with us. And so the Lord really taught us that the ministry was about sacrificial love, laying our lives down. And in the Bible college I went to, they didn't talk much about the power of God. They taught a lot about history. And I can tell you firsthand that going to crack houses at 2 o'clock in the morning is not the safest of occupations. And on more than one occasion, I found myself looking at the wrong end of a firearm. And never once did I ever think about any of the church history stories that I could share with those people. But I definitely learned to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and His guidance. And so Higher Ground was eventually born to teach people how to be very relevant in ministry, how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, how to learn to depend on that and move in the gifts.
Well, I can't imagine, you know, I'm just trying to picture myself in your shoes and being in these, really, I think for most of us, probably many, many of those that are listening, hearing your story going, man, how would I respond if I was in that situation? And I doubt hearing stories of what people did in the past was really on the tip of your tongue when you were in those, you know, frightening situations. But the Lord did tell us that, you know, when we get into these moments, these pressure moments, the Holy Spirit, He would give us things to say. He would lead us and guide us into all truth. And I'm so glad to hear this is the message that you're carrying. And so you believe that every Christian should walk in identity and authority. We have an obligation, I think, if I'm hearing you right, to represent the kingdom of God well into the earth. How does this all relate to where we're at as a society in America today?
With today's culture?
Exactly.
Yeah, we've lost the culture war. That's for sure. And we've lost it because the church has walked away from the power of God. The very essence of Christianity, real Christianity, has to involve, has to be made up of at least some part supernatural. I mean, it's good to feed people, and we should. It's good to clothe people and house people, and we should. But social service agencies do that. And too often, the church has fallen back on those good works, and they are good works, and we are supposed to do them. But they've fallen back on that as the totality of who they are in the community. And they've neglected the real focus of the church, which is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, it's the kingdom is not just words, it's power. Then he said, seek first the kingdom. I mean the power. I mean the kingdom. They're one and the same. And so the power of the kingdom of God should be part of the normal experience of every Christian. And if it isn't, it's because we haven't taken the time to engage in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you stop and think about it, all legitimate ministry, by legitimate, I mean supernatural, comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. No other place. Why don't the churches move in that? Largely because they don't understand that's what they're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. We are supposed to have communion with the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to be part of what we are. That is where legitimate ministry, that's where the authority of the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom comes from, period.
So you're saying communion with God leads to authority?
Well, no, communion with God will first lead to our identity. See, we have the authority's key. We have to move in the authority. But you're not going to spend time with the Holy Spirit without beginning to understand who you are, who He is, understanding our identity. An analogy that I like to use frequently is, I look at Prince William and Prince Harry. They grew up, they were Diana and Charles's children. And they always knew they were princes. And they always traveled as though they were princes. When Prince Harry, as a teenager, would fly around or in his young 20s and land in a different country, he would stay at $10,000 and $15,000 a night suites. He never stayed at the Motel 6. And my point simply is he knew he was a king's kid. And he always traveled that way and moved that way and understood who he was. And today, so few Christians understand who they are. They don't understand the great privilege we have, the great authority we have in the kingdom. I'm not talking about staying in expensive suites or driving Rolls Royces. I'm talking about moving in the power of the kingdom of God, of understanding. One of the questions that I ask people frequently is, when will the devil be defeated? And it's sort of a trick question. And so many people say, well, when Jesus comes back. And so many people say all these other answers, when he's thrown into the lake of fire. But the truth is, he was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the point, if that's the truth of it, why does anyone, especially a Christian, allow him to have any authority whatsoever today? Period. And it's only because they don't know who they are. One of the things the Lord's really gifted us in is a real understanding of deliverance. And I wrote a book on it called The Art of Exorcism. Mm-hmm. And I use that title because, when you say deliverance, half of the people in the church don't really know what you're talking about. And nobody in the world knows what you're talking about. But when you say exorcism, everyone knows exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And really, the word says that deliverance is the children's bread. It is a basic, common, everyday thing that we should all be moving in. And that's not to say that there's a demon behind every sneeze or anything like that, but it's another weapon in our tool belt. And with that understanding, with the understanding of the authority we have, we constantly see people set free, and it changes their lives. And it witnesses to other people. People see the power of God move. They get very, very convicted. People see the changed lives of the people who have been through deliverance and seen the power of God. They want what we have. That's how the gospel is supposed to work.
Well, it's beautiful, and obviously it's biblical. This was the key to the early church, and those who know their God are going to do the mighty exploits and are going to see the power of God displayed. Obviously, what we're doing, I'm speaking in generalities, but what we're doing as the church in America is not working because, like you said, we've lost the culture war.
When you look at authority, Jeff, let me interrupt you for a second. When you look at authority, it's a multiple faceted statement. First of all, in order to understand authority, all legitimate authority is given, never taken. And so where is the root of the authority? Jesus said that all authority in heaven and earth was given to him by the Father. And then he said, as the Father appointed a kingdom to me, I appoint it to you. And see a line of succession from the authority of the Father through Jesus to us. And then what makes us walk in that authority? Well, the only thing that's going to make us walk in that authority is the conviction that it is real, the conviction that it is for us. And when we have that, we can begin to develop courage because we know who's behind us. And all that comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is a way to move in the authority of the kingdom. That's the point.
And I think for all of us, that is something that should be encouraging right now. I think many believers in America right now are feeling discouraged, confused, feeling like maybe they know they want to see God move in a new way, but they don't know how to actually step into that. And what I'm hearing from you, Pastor, is you're saying, no, this is for all of us. This is for every single one of us. This is the invitation that God has put in front of us. And it's not out of reach. It's not a pipe dream. It's something that God has clearly revealed in His Word. Am I hearing you right?
Absolutely. It should be the normal ministry. Let me tell you a short story. We had our church in Massachusetts fill up with people out of the prison. And there was a particular family that grew quite a bit. We ended up working very, very closely with. The mother abandoned the family, went back to drugs, and the father tested it out. So our church kind of rallied around him to help him with the five kids that he had. And my wife and I ended up helping to raise the children as if they were our own. And one of them passed away very tragically when he was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Very, very crushing thing. His name was Nicholas.
Yeah.
And never expected it that day, just terrible accident, just really sickening, kind of worst day of your life. They were Hispanic family. And what we decided to do was to start a foundation in Nicholas's name. We called it the Nicholas Project. And because he was Hispanic, we build recreation rooms on orphanages in Mexico. And we called each one of them Nicholas Hall. And every year we bring Christmas presents to the kids. And we've been doing that for close to 20 years. And I have to tell you this. When I first went to Mexico for the dedication of Nicholas Hall, missions was the furthest thing from my mind. In fact, I thought, okay, we built this hall. Nice, I'll go visit it, and that was it. But my son, Jonathan, Nicholas's brother, was 11 years old. And on our way out of Mexico, it was summertime, he said, Dad, who's gonna bring Christmas presents to the kids? I was like, well, I guess you can make some phone calls to people, and we'll come back and bring them Christmas presents. So every year, we go back and we bring all these kids Christmas presents. Now, I always admired missionaries, but I was a U.S. citizen. I didn't have any thoughts toward missions. I thought they were great people, did a great job, but I'm called here to the U.S. Well, the Lord used that tragedy to help give me a heart for missions. And what happened was, he opened doors, and I began to speak in some churches down there. We were invited to speak in some churches, and what would happen was the power of God would move. I wrote the book, The Art of Exorcism. It was translated to Spanish. It opened up a ton of doors. And suddenly, when I would go to churches, people saw things they have never seen before. They saw the gifts move. They saw words of knowledge. People would come up to me, and they'd just melt into tears. And they'd go, how do you know this? I don't know it. The Holy Spirit's just speaking to you. And then powerful, powerful deliverances. We have hundreds of hours of sessions that go on for 3 or 4 hours with people holding, 5 or 6 people holding someone down until the demons are gone. I mean, it's just really powerful stuff. And we have great testimonies from the people about how different their lives are because of it. And so that opened the door for us in Mexico. We're now in 50 cities down there. And we opened a Bible college there in Mexico. It'll be 3 years ago this November. And we see the power of God move constantly. And that opened up tremendous doors. We brought together 115 churches south of Acapulco. And a year ago, January 2020, we did our very first ever crusade. We had 22,000 people show up. And it was a deliverance crusade.
Wow.
And so many people were set free. And the whole city was different. And it's astounding to see what happens when the power of God moves. And all those churches are growing. You know, they started out, they were small churches, a lot of them, 20 people, 30 people. Now they've got 200 or 300 people in each of the churches. And the Spirit of God is just exploding. Why? Because people have seen the power of God move. Wow. The difference between light and dark is clearly displayed. And that's what the whole purpose of our conference here is in July, living beyond the veil. For centuries, the veil separated God from the rest of the world. When Jesus died, it was torn apart. God's intention is that we live beyond that veil, in the glory of God, in the power of God, seeing Him move, seeing Him meet the needs of people.
The conference is July 8th through the 10th.
Right. No, it's called Living Beyond the Veil.
Living Beyond
the
Veil.
And we have 4 speakers, and these are 4 very powerful men of God, heavily anointed guys. Mel Tari, who wrote the book Like a Mighty Wind. When Mel was 19 years old, him and a group of his friends living in Indonesia, they get real serious about serving God. And they were a Methodist or Presbyterian, something like that. And they met every night in the church and prayed and read the Bible. And all of a sudden, one night, like in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came in with His mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire appeared over their heads. Over the next 18 months, they walked on water, changed water into wine, and raised over 20 people from the dead.
It's completely legendary. It's just completely amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, and amazing. And that book, Like a Mighty Wind, circled the globe.
It did.
And then a rebellious, roughneck supposed to be ninth generation preacher David Hogan got a hold of that book, and he was he knew the Lord, he knew it was real, he had family members who he admired, but not for him. He was a tough guy, and he tells the story that he went for breakfast and this book is sitting at the breakfast table. He says to his wife, "What's this?" She says, "I don't know. I didn't put it there." He put it up on the shelf. The next day it was there again. "Honey, what did you do?" "Told you, honey, I didn't touch it." Next day it was there again. He's, "All right, God, I guess you want me to read this." And he read it, and he said to the Lord, he said, "All right, healing a headache and raising the dead is the same thing to you. No, not any more different. I want to understand this." And to date, he's raised over 300 people from the dead. And he has this powerful, powerful ministry. And his people have raised over 100 people from the dead. And then Dean Braxton will be with us. And Dean Braxton is an amazing man. He was a really good guy. Lived in the Virginia area. Was worked in probation, mostly with kids. And he was a good Christian guy and was very helpful. And, you know, just that end of law enforcement, making a big difference. They had a lot of pain with the hospital. Turned out it was a kidney stone, and the hospital killed him. They did some things that were wrong, and they killed him. And for an hour and 45 minutes, he laid on a hospital gurney. For the first hour and 15 minutes, they tried to resuscitate him, tried to bring him back. Then they stopped. 30 more minutes went by, then he came back to life with no one resuscitating him.
Wow.
Now, that's not possible, humanly possible. That whole hour and 45 minutes, he was with Jesus. And the stories, the intense understandings that he's brought back with him are just mind-boggling. And I talked with Dean yesterday, and he said, I haven't met David yet, but I have to tell you something. He said there was a guy who was a disciple of his who worked closely with him who taught us, which is why my family knew that I could come back from the dead. So his ministry really reached out, and the only reason I came back was because my people understood it was possible, knew that it was God's heart, that I was being stolen, and it wasn't what was supposed to happen. And I said to him, where you go to church is really a matter of life and death. People don't realize that. And then Tony Kemp, Tony's a wonderful guy. He, 26 years he pastored. He was a good guy and believed in the miracles and stuff, but didn't see many. A few headaches healed and a couple things like that, a few salvations. But one day the Lord reached out of heaven, took him into heaven, talked with him, spoke with him, brought an angel to him who opened up a scroll and showed him how to move in the power of God. And I can tell you right now, he is such an anointed healer. He is such a powerful, powerful, prophetic, moving in the gifts, amazing guy. So these four people will be with us for 3 days. And basically teaching people, how do you live beyond the veil? That's where you're supposed to live. The most of the conference will be a sort of a seminar format with the four of them speaking together, teaching on the different points from their different perspectives, how you live, how you move in that realm. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the anointing that it brings to the area. I'm excited about the mantles that will get transferred. I'm excited about what's going to come from that conference.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, people are hungry right now. And after this prolonged season of this tyrannical lockdown for many of us around the country, just be able to get together again and get that corporate anointing. And then, my goodness, the speakers that you're talking about, these are legendary. I mean, people that are moving in power, and they're real servants of Christ in the earth. My goodness. Where's the event going to be held again?
It'll be held on our campus in New York, and anyone who wants to attend it can go to the website for it, which is livingbeyondtheveilconference.com.
Wonderful. And, Pastor, we've got about 60 seconds left. Would you pray for our listening audience? I just know I'm hungry. The audience is hungry. Just pray over our listening audience that they would have that breakout into this kingdom authority life that you're speaking about.
Amen. Amen, amen. Holy Spirit, I come to you right now, and I lift up the mighty name of Jesus, and I lift it up over this nation. Holy Spirit, our nation is in the condition that it is because people have walked away from the relationship with you. Jesus said, "It's better that I leave. It's better for you if I leave, because the Holy Spirit will come." Holy Spirit, I ask that you brood over this nation, that you brood over the hearts of your people, over the hearts of your children. Show them the hunger you have for relationship with them. Show them what you've shown us, that the deepest desires of your heart are to see your people have a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, draw their hearts, put conviction inside of them. Let them know that there's a plan and a purpose for their life. Nothing is by accident. None of them are here by accident. The creator of the universe chose to put each of us here at this time, not to be part of the problem, but to be the leaders and the solutions. Holy Spirit, move across this nation. Touch the hearts of your children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Come on, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pastor Macid, it's such an honor to have you on today. My heart was stirred. I'm sure the hearts of our listeners was stirred as well. We pray for God's richest blessings upon you, the work that you're doing, the message that you're carrying. And again, for those that are interested in the Living Beyond the Veil conference, it's being held July 8th through 10th. One last time, where do people go to check it out?
LivingBeyondTheVeilConference.com.
Simple, beautiful, and effective. Thank you so much, Pastor, for being on the show. God bless you.
Jeff, thank you, and thank you for the good work you and Charisma are doing around this nation. God bless.
Thank you. Well, you've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and the message that Pastor Macid brought forth. Please share this broadcast with your friends and family. Social media is a great way to share it. It's a way that we can stand up for the gospel and stay strong in our faith in Jesus Christ by sharing the good news. God bless.